So that's what you look like. That was an opening statement by a person that was addressing a Gideon convention. He wanted to see what the people looked like that was responsible for placing a Bible in the prison that he was in. He said as a little boy, he remembered his father being an alcoholic and very abusive. He recalled a time when he and his little brother watched him drag their mother down the stairs by her hair. And he had an uncle that sexually abused him. Later, his parents divorced, and they were adopted out. He was bullied in school, got into fights, joined gangs, got into more trouble, ended up in prison. He had another uncle that brought him a Gideon Bible. After starting to read God's Word, he got mad at God. Where were you? Where were you in those times that I needed you, when my father was beating my mother and my uncle was sexually abusing me? Where were you when I needed you? As he continued to read God's Word, he felt the love of God come upon him and accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. And now Asif Hussain of British Guyana is serving the Lord as a missionary, bringing thousands more to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Whew. Wasn't that the cost of that Bible? Was it worth it? One Bible. It's amazing what God can do with one word, one breath. Where are the Gideons? The Gideon International was founded over 100 years ago by three businessmen placing Bibles in hotels and motels. Then they were invited to work with the evangelical pastors and churches. Now there are over 300,000 Gideons and auxiliary members around the world, supported by you. Gideons live in the communities that they serve. We are a missionary arm of the church, of your congregation. Gideons are in over 200 countries. The Bibles are translated in over 100 languages. We have a Gideon app for your phones and iPads that you can put on there that gives you the same information that the Gideon Bible does, with all the helps and the needs that you need for people that are in distress or in need. And it's free of charge, just like most of the apps. God's Word is placed in locations such as hotels, motels, convalescent homes, medical offices, domestic violence centers, shelters, jails. Last year, we placed 90 Bibles in the new Boulder Falls Inn in Lebanon, a brand new motel. March of last year, or 2 months ago, I guess it was kind of 13 months ago, you helped us place 150 Bibles in the veterans home, the new veterans home in Lebanon. They accepted 150 Bibles in that. April and May of last year, during the school, at the end of the school year, we gave out 508 testaments to students in the Lebanon, Sweet Home, Sio, and Mill City area. We'll be in Mill City this next week. October, 42 full-size Bibles and motels and hotels and just in our area. This is I-5 this way. And so everything else, there's Gideon camps in basically every major county or every county. OSU last year, they're in their distribution. 2,364 Bibles went to students. College students. Western Oregon University at Monmouth just 4 days ago had a distribution. I don't know how many Bibles they gave out there. Tomorrow we're doing a distribution in Sweet Home. And so we're busy. This is the time of year that we need to, when it finally quits raining, we can get out and the kids will actually come up to you without running to their cars. Bill Walters, Nashville, Tennessee, said Bridget come in to take her blood. It was time for his annual physical. He had told her, I don't do well giving blood. I passed out, but I can usually talk my way through it. She says, okay, what do you want to talk about? He says, how about the Lord? About 15 minutes later, the doctor walked in, but he couldn't acknowledge him. Bridget had taken his hand and was praying for forgiveness of her sins, and inviting Jesus into her heart and her life as a personal Savior. She signed the back of that Bible, that little New Testament that he gave her, and dated April 3rd, 2015. Bridget came in that day to take his blood. But she also took Jesus' blood as a remission of her sins. Bill said, that was a great day. Our purpose is the same as yours, is to see the lost people come to Christ. Mark 16:15 tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's a commandment to all of us, not just Gideon's. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And you just think back in history, how many countries, how many generations have tried to destroy God's word? It doesn't work. Pat Shelton was in and out of prisons and on probation for 39 years of his life. Well, here, let him tell you. Will, will you play that first one?
I got to where I was burning houses, blowing up cars, breaking people's arms and legs. I got as evil could get. I got so cold that my own mom and daddy, my daddy came out to a little trailer I was living in. He said, son, it's time for you to go. He said, you've turned into an animal. He said, I'd rather see you dead than to see you in the shape you're in. And I got angry and started getting tore up about it. My daddy walked out and he closed the door, but he come back and he had these big tears rolled down his eyes. He said, son, take me at my word. You must be gone when I come back. This man seen me again at 18 years old. He came in and said, Jesus loves you and I love you. In that time, 27 years, this man, Charlie Waters, a Gideon, came to the jail and told me, Jesus loves you and I love you. Well, each time I came in there, I wouldn't listen. I was too cold and too angry. And I got back into trouble and I started getting into more and more trouble. And I ended up with my second meth charge. I was facing 22-15. That's all they offered me. Charlie came into my cell. He said, son, how'd they get you? I said, he got me at the urine test, Charlie. But I said, seven people turned me in. He ignored that. He said, well, son, if it had been clean, what would happen? And I thought, well, you idiot, they'd turn me loose. But I didn't tell him that. I said, well, Charlie, they'd turn me loose. Why? He said, well, son, who put you in here? That was the first time in 32 years of my life that I had to admit I was wrong. And Charlie asked me, he said, do you have a Bible? And I said, no, I don't. And he gave me his personal Bible, his own personal Bible. He told me, he said, see, why don't you get in the book of John, see if he can't find you a real friend. I said, okay, and I wasn't going to really read it. And he said, would you read this for me? And because of his love and compassion and what I seen in him, I said, okay, I'll read it. Well, I started reading that word, and I got over there, and he made the lame to walk, the blind to see, raised old Lazarus from the dead. I said, this guy's better than Superman. I said, he's got it going on. Boy, it's a good book. It was a book. But he came over there and he told me something. He said, I want you to see if he can't find you a real friend. Well, let me tell you what a friend was to me. Many a times I'd stood in front of guns. I'd stood in front of people and I'd say, you'll go through me. You'll go through me first. Well, I got over there to that point and I'd read over there to where this man named Jesus had died for Pat Shelton. And I didn't know nothing about him. I didn't know him. But I got down on my knees in a jail cell, in cell four, and I said, I don't know you, don't know nothing about you. But if you can do what your word says, if you can take this pain, if you can take this anger, if you can take this suffering that's going in my life right now, I won't give you my life, I'll surrender. And I'd never done that in my life. And the word came to me just as plain as I'm speaking now. He said, you're forgiven. Well, guess what? I got excited. I came up off that floor and I started shouting. I started jumping up and down and I started climbing the wall over there, grabbed him cell. They sent seven jailers in there to see what had happened to Pat Shelton. They come in there and a little runaround said, he's praising God. They knew I was crazy. They sure thought I was crazy then. But since that time, I've accepted my calling as a minister. That jail ministry that Charlie Waters started, I now do that jail ministry. Through that jail ministry, there's been 572 men come out of that jail and give their life to Christ. Amen. To God be the glory. Since that time, I told you my mom and daddy got to the hey, see me coming. Since that time, I got to lead my mom and daddy to the Lord. I got to baptize my mom and daddy. I got to send them both home to be with the Lord. And I got to sing at both their funerals. See, I get a little excited when I start talking about Jesus, amen, about what he can do. For it says in the word, who the Son is set free is free indeed. But let me tell you what happened. It was because of one man's perseverance. It was because of a man that showed love and compassion. For 27 years, that man came in with tears. There was so many Gideons in my life, I didn't even know what a Gideon was. They'd come in, somebody say, the Gideons are coming. I'd say, I don't know what they are. But through all that time, through the jail ministry and the prison ministries and different places I've been, before I knew actually what a Gideon was, I had 75 in my life. They'd been all in my life. Since then, I was on probation 39 years. Now think about that. I was on probation 39 years. But last year, three judges, two commissioners, and a man that chased me for 27 years came to me and they said, we want you to take a job. And I said, I don't want it. And they said, we want you to be community service coordinator of Gilmer County. I was on probation 39 years. Now I'm working with them. You tell me God can't change things. Amen. Amen. We have started this ministry. God be the glory. Now that's working people. Community services, I put them out there and I work them in the sun, in the rain, the snow, whatever it is. There's been, in a year and 3 months, there's been 14 come to the Lord and we gave out 139 Bibles. All this happened through a man showing love and compassion. Through a man that loved the Lord so much. Through a man that came with tears. Each and every time he came to that jail with tears and said, Jesus loves you and I love you. If I can leave anything with you today, love covers a multitude of sins. I've not met a Gideon yet that I didn't love. And I thank the Lord for each and every one that's been brought into my life. And I thank the Lord for giving me a chance to come out here and be with you. It's an honor to get to stand before such a great cloud of witnesses. And it's a blessing to know that you're going to go out. You're going to go out into the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And I thank you so much for giving me this chance. God bless you.
Wow. And you know, there's hundreds of testimonies like that, not just him. But praise the Lord. Gideons do take this position seriously. If you're a man of God and you want to be part of the Gideon ministry, we want you. But you got to be led. Ways you can get involved. First and foremost, pray. Pray for those adults and children to receive God's word. Pray that they will not only accept the scripture, but they will open it. They will read it. Allow God, like our first testimony, allow God to work in his heart and show his love. For the investment of about $1.25, you can provide the purchase, printing, and placement of this little book right here. How small a thing can do such a greater work. Only God can do that. God be the glory. And if you ever meet a Gideon that talks anything other than, if he talks about himself and what he can do for God, then he needs to change his profession, because it's not about us. We're not the workers. We're just the instruments that he uses, just like every one of you. And we can't do it without you. We really can't. Motels and hotel Bibles are $5 each. Those are the bigger ones. A lot of you have probably seen them when you went to hotels or motels. And if not, there's one in the stand, or in the table in the back. Those have a shelf life of about 6 years. And after they're done in a motel, if there's something, you know, if the bindings are bad or something like that, what we do is we tear all the bindings off and we give them to the prisons. So the life isn't over when we take them out of the motels. We continue to use those. So they go to the prisons because they can't have anything with a hard back or a hard cover on it. They also have the potential of reaching 2,300 people per Bible in each motel room in a six-year period. How many people will actually have access to it? The Gideons are in partnership with the churches and have distributed over 2 billion scriptures throughout the world. We have the Gideon card program. Some of you are aware of that. There's several different types of cards. Greeting cards. We have some in the back. Some of you have probably already used them. How many people can go to the store and buy a card for $5 and also donate a Bible to give somebody to save their soul? There's not too many stores that do that. But that's what you do when you use a Gideon card. You can also go online now and use the e-cards, which are many, many of those, and just do it automatically with your debit card or credit card. And again, there's no obligation. They're not going to take your names. They're not going to sell any lists. And they're not going to come looking for you or ask you how many Bibles you use. They just want you to reach people. Okay. You are not buying a card. You're sending a Bible. The bulletin inserts that you receive today will tell you also many other ways that you can support the Gideon ministry. We keep saying the Gideon ministry. It's not the Gideon ministry. It's God's ministry. You know, maybe we need to change the word to God's ministry, but it was called the Gideon's ministry because of the army that God sent out, just like the Gideon in the Bible and in the book of Judges. Statistics show that 1 out of 8 people receive the Bible, accept the Lord as their personal Savior. That's sad. It's only 1 out of 8. We'd like it to be better, but that's what the statistics show. Also, we have what we call the Life Book. It's not a Bible. I've looked through this whole book. There's not a word in here that says anything about the Gideon ministry because it's not a Gideon book. It's got the book of John in it. It was designed to give to the youth in the church that are interested in witnessing to their friends in school, to give to them and help them testify what God has done in their life. It has a lot of different testimonies and stuff in it. I have about 3 or 4 of these in the back. And all the church has to do, and there's no reporting, they're not going to call and ask you, you know, how are you using these? Are they working for you? Blah, blah, blah. How many kids have come to the salvation through these books? They're not. It's just a free gift. You go online, order however many you want. They'll even send you a training tape. There's 3 training tapes, and all 3 tapes add up to 12 minutes total. So they're not very long. Just kind of give the kids information on how to use it properly, and they're free. Or you can become a Gideon. Gideons are Christian businessmen and professional men, ages 21 and older. Please prayerfully consider becoming a part of that ministry. They're getting to be old guys like me and Paul back here. I have a Gideon partner that's here praying for me, praying that God will lead me through this. And we're all old guys. We need some of the younger guys to come back and follow us up, because when we're gone, who's going to take up the cross? Just like the ministers and the pastors and their families and wives, somebody's got to take up that cross. Or you can become a friend of the Gideons. You provide much needed support and prayer. It's something that you actually register for. I think it's about $10 a month that you give. And then you can go to some of the meetings, some of the distributions and stuff, and help out if you don't want to become just because you're a Gideon doesn't mean you have to be a speaker. The biggest part about it is distributing the Bibles that the churches donate the money for. 100% of everything that you give for Bibles goes to Bibles. So it's nothing else. All the overhead and everything else is paid out of our pocket, out of our dues that we pay each year. So we don't take any of that money to pay support for the rest of it. I switched things around here, and I think I have another video. Well, if you'd show that one. This one is a little more graphic, so the kids kind of just take it. Well, it's the Lord's ministry. We just remember. Thank you.
I was 10 years old, and I held my mother's gun to my head, and I wanted to blow my brains out all over her wall. You must ask the question, why would a 10-year-old child want to die? 10 is a time to dream of being an astronaut, of being a soccer star, a football player, a preacher, a pastor, a doctor. But for me, life was so horrific, with so much vitriol and pain, I wanted to die. I'm the product of interracial immigrants. My grandmother was tall, white, and thin from Germany, and we called her French Fry. My grandfather was a big, burly black man from Cuba, and we called him Hamburger. Hamburger met French Fry and created a Happy Meal. And these two immigrants produced 7 McNuggets with special sauce. We would joke that we would have Wiener Schnitzel with salsa for Thanksgiving. My grandfather had to hide the fact in the 1940s in America that he was married to a Caucasian woman. But one wedding anniversary, he had a flaw. He liked to drink overproof Cuban rum. And one evening, he was inebriated. And a man saw them together and said to my grandmother, "Why would you be a nigger lover?" My grandfather, with huge arms, lost his temper and hit the man in the jaw and broke his neck. The man didn't die, but he was injured severely. He went to the worst prison, convicted of the crime, Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio, locked down 23 hours a day. It hit the newspapers that my grandmother was married to this convicted felon, and she lost her job. But being a German woman, she didn't complain or whine or woe is me. She began to work odd jobs, cleaning other people's houses and toilets, taking care of their children. But as she was working, she would have fainting spells, passing out doing her job. She went to the doctor and discovered that she had a tumor growing behind her left eye that was metastasizing to her brain. And the doctor said, "We have to take out your third of your face, your eye. You will be malformed and disformed and disfigured for the rest of your life. What do you do when the American dream becomes an American nightmare?" She could not work. She was sick and mutilated. My grandfather's in jail. And day by day, they lost everything that they had acquired. They lost their house. They lost their car. They lost their furniture. They lost their dignity. They lost their self-esteem. And they were living in the streets like animals. My three uncles got hooked on heroin. They belonged to a gang called the Devil's Disciple. And my entire family became atheistic. No God, no prayer, no Bible, no hope. And my mother, at age 14, was called by a pimp named Larry, who said to her, "What is school doing for you? You are sitting on a gold mine." She said, "Where?" He said, "You're sitting on it." And we call this being turned out. And little by little, she began to sell her 14-year-old body to grown men for money to survive. It's called turning tricks. And at age 16, she got pregnant. We call it having a trick baby. Two strangers meet for a business transaction, and there's a mistake. The pimp said, "You can't make any money having a baby in the oven. We have got to kill this baby." They kicked her in the stomach. They fed her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They took a hanger and stabbed the baby over and over again. But the baby would not die. The baby was born 2 months premature, with no pancreas, a learning disability, a bladder too small, unable to function, a severe stutterer. We call it a trick baby. Nobody wants the baby. No hope, no future. Kill it, was the word. That baby was me. I'm the lowest of the low. I come from the guttermost. I come from a hellish condition. And so when I would go to school, I couldn't talk. I stuttered so severely from the trauma. My mother had a madam who hated men. Her name was Dolores, and she was a sadist. And when she would watch me, she would take a broomstick and stick it in a place where no boy should have any object in his body. And when you are tortured like that, you learn four things. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend nothing is happening. And by age 10, I had had enough. I wanted to die. And in my school, they put me in a boiler room with other kids who were dysfunctional like me, where we would finger paint all day long. And yet there was a teacher, thank God for her, who had a Gideon Bible. And she came to my school and she saw kids like me as her mission field. And she would give me this Gideon Bible and read to me stories of dysfunctional characters who God used. She would say to me, Ronaldo, God uses greatly those who have been wounded very deeply. He will turn your pain into power, your wounds into wisdom. She had me read the story of Moses, who was also a stutterer. I began to understand that God did love a trick baby. Even as low as I was, there was hope for me and possibility. And when a child begins to understand the love of God and the power of His Word and the possibilities, it changes everything. How can a young man keep his way clean by taking heed according to your word? Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I began to memorize the Bible, that Gideon Bible, reading 2,000 scriptures. And when you put that kind of word in a life, something begins to happen. My stuttering went away. I stopped wetting the bed. I stood tall. I became valedictorian, became a pastor and priest until everybody in my family got saved. Why? Because somebody placed the Gideon Bible in a woman's hand that changed a life forever. Yes, I was born a trick baby, but the trick was on the devil because of you and the power of the Word of God.
Can you tell he's excited? How can you sit still in your seat after hearing that, huh? Again, one Bible. Shame on this country, though. Shame on us. I don't want to get political. But a teacher can't take a Bible in the school. You can't talk about God's Word to a student. Shame on us. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Remember, the video that you're going to have this next week, there's a beautiful song about that, too. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Remember this. Remaining true to Jesus may be difficult, discouraging, and even dangerous, but it is never pointless or wasted. Pastor Tim, Council, thank you for the opportunity to come here and share about the Gideon ministry. Church, thank you for your attention and your love for the lost in the world.